This is how I fight my battles. That song's been stuck in my head because that's the name of our sermon today, our lesson. This is how I fight my battles. We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to be in verse 8 here in a bit. And as you go there, let me tell you a little something. I get to work with the youth here at River Oaks. I've been a youth pastor now for 12 billion years. And I'm telling you, I had more hair back then. I was prettier. And I was like a trophy husband back then. And now... You learn some things as a youth pastor, though. You learn a lot of bad jokes, like dad jokes, like what do you call an elephant that doesn't matter? An irrelevant? Come on. I didn't say they were funny. I just said they were dad jokes. What's the dumbest animal in the jungle? The polar bear? Some of you are going to think about that one. You're going to catch it later. It's there. It's going to be in the back of your head. I've also learned this. I've learned that there's not a lot different between adults and youth. Adults are overgrown youth. Because we carry the same burdens and stresses with us that we had when we were kids and youth, all the way into adulthood. If we never deal with those things and move on, then we carry that with us. The same pains. And so as I talk to a student who is dealing with depression, you know, there's a good chance that there may be depression as an adult. And as I talk to a student that's struggling through things, that, you know, if you don't deal with those things, then they will carry on with you. And so I've learned that. I've learned that in a room of this size, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of battles being fought. Any meaningful decision we have in our life is a battle. Like, I'm not talking about if you're going to get, what you're going to have for lunch. Some of y'all may battle over that. Well, I don't know. This isn't, and there's that. I don't know about that. But I'm talking about meaningful things like how do I discipline my kids? It becomes a battle. It can be a battle in the house, can it? Or should I view this content, this media, or should I not view this content and this media? That can be a huge battle. Should I take this sip or not take this sip? And these can be battles in our life. And here's the deal. We have to choose how we're going to fight our battles. We have to choose how we will fight our battles. And today we're going to talk about King David. And King David's in a really cool spot here in 1 Chronicles chapter 14. He just became king of all of Israel. And he has this choice, you know. Does he want to man up and just like bully through this thing and be a king and try to run over people? Or what's he going to do as he goes in to fight these battles? And we're going to talk about this a little bit more. But here's the deal. Here's what David learns, and here's what we should learn. If you approach the battles in life with God, you're going to fight less and you're going to win more. If you approach the battles in life with God, you're going to fight less and you're going to win more. Let's see what David did. Look at 1 Chronicles. The way I always do things, I read through the verses and then we go back verse by verse. So we're in chapter 14, verse 8. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and he went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of the Rephaim, and David inquired of God, "Hey, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, I'll give them into your hand." And he went up to Baal-perazim, and David struck them down there, and David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a bursting flood." Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal-perazim, and that means God of breakthrough. And they left their gods there, the Philistines did, and David gave this command, and they were all burned. Burn those idols, burn those suckers, verse 13. And the Philistines yet again made a raid in the valley, round 2. And when David again inquired of God, God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Go around and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." And David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands. And the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. I like to do something. I'm going to give you just 30 seconds or so. Would you pray for me in your own heart? Not out loud, but just pray for me, and then I'll pray for us. God, you are King. May you reign in this message. God, help me to get out of the way. May you speak. God, I pray for your word always to be all the truth that we receive. And make us glean from the goodness of the scriptures. Help us to know you more. Help us to celebrate you and to fight battles with you as our general, as our head. We lift this up before you, God. We praise you. Amen. One of the joys that I have is to bear burdens of people in our church. And it's something that I like to do. I pray with a lot of people, obviously, and I'll do some counseling and stuff too. But I was reminded as I was writing this of a man that, he's from 10 years ago. So none of you are going to know him before I was ever here in Missouri. And this man, he said, hey, can we talk? Kind of impromptu. I was like, sure. I didn't know what I was walking into. And you never know when you're about to walk into a spiritual battle thing. And I sat with him and he looked at me and he said, hey, my wife's cheating on me. She says she won't stop. He said, I've lost the battle of my marriage. I've lost my family, the battle of my family, because kids, they always go both ways. And he said, he felt like he was losing the battle of being a Christian in his church, because unfortunately, there are some churches that are not godly and would cast someone out in their lowest of times. This man of his own wasn't really committing or tucked into sin. It was really his wife. But he was like, I've lost all these battles, Brandon. What do I do? I don't know what to do. He was defeated. Now, that's really sad, but it's actually kind of a good thing in the long run, because defeat is a good place to be. Defeat means that you feel powerless. And when you finally feel powerless, you start relying on God's power fully. When I finally know that I can't do anything else, I have nothing left, I can rely on God and I can see what God's going to do in my life. That man's life has been restored in many ways. But how do you fight your battles? In these verses that we're looking at, here's King David, and he just became the king. And what he can do is that he can choose to be the king like his predecessor was. His predecessor was a king who just went in, manhandled things, did whatever he wanted to. His predecessor was just ornery and didn't live for God. His predecessor, I mean, for instance, his predecessor, the king, gave his daughter to David, and then David tried to kill David. And then he took the daughter and gave her to another man. Like, stuff like that. So King Saul was just ornery. And that's been the only really example of what a king looks like here in Israel. And so here's David, and he can choose to be like that. In fact, he probably, many of us would choose and want to be like that. I mean, we have this personal inclination and this prideful lack of humility to where we want to show out. We want to show who we are. Like, you don't have to be a youth pastor very long before you watch the boys and how they play basketball when the girls are around. You know what I mean? And some of you husbands still do that a little bit, don't you? Hey, you see your wife, flex that arm, make sure she knows I've been working out a little bit, you know? So David could flex his arms. He has this choice. Or he can choose a totally different path. Here's the deal. God should be at the center of our battles. God wants to lead us into battle. God wants to be with you in your hard times and in your difficulties. And this is what we learn from David. And again, we learn the beautiful truth. If you approach the battles in life with God, you're going to fight less and you're going to win more. Let's chew on these verses a little bit. Look at verse 8 and 9. We're just going to go verse by verse and just really enjoy the scriptures. Verse 8 says this: when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and he went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made some raids in the valley of the Rephaim. Okay, David. Time to flex your muscles. What are you going to do? He had a strong army. He could get all the glory. Look at the beginning of verse 10. And David inquired of God. Church, the right decision is always a godly decision. We always start with God. We always start with God. We talk to God. I don't know. I hear this all the time, that people will say, well, God's not talking to me. And I just want to take this and just like, ah! Here's the Bible. God has talked to us. He said so much. Get in there and learn it. Chew on it and love it. Talk to God. He already knows the outcome. Some of you have already went to see this certain movie that's out right now with superheroes, you know, people that look like me on the stage. Did you just whistle at me? You need to be on the stage every time I teach. I like that. My wife's in the audience and she's okay with that, so we're doing fine. But what you're gonna decide is, you're gonna decide if you wanna see that movie by how your pals decided. Like, you're gonna ask some people if they've seen it. And if some of your friends have seen that movie and they don't like it, you may choose not to see it at all. We go to see experts for things. We go to see people who know the outcomes. I wanna go talk to a doctor. I don't wanna, some of you may have family members like mine. I always had a family member. I had like a bump on my finger one time and a family member said, hey, take this rope, tie it into a knot, take a silver spoon, dig a hole and put it in there. Now, if I just stepped on one of y'all's home remedies, I'm sorry, but that's just not good for me. I want to talk to a doctor, put a little ointment on that. We go to experts. We go to teachers. We go to pastors when we're curious about the Bible and struggling. We do that because of the expertise that they have in these areas. And you know, when we're dealing with life, we have a God who knows everything, who already knows the outcome, who already knows what's going to happen, who's already told us. We have the counselor, we have the Holy Spirit that we can call out to. So church, listen, it's not just smart to go to God with your problems and your battles. It's really dumb not to. That's silly. It's silly not to. Because God knows. God knows what you're dealing with. And the right decision always starts with him. Look at verse 10. And David inquired of God, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up and I will give them into your hand. I will give them into your hand. David knew the battle wasn't even his. God's in control. God's in control. God gives the battle to us. God fights the battle. And in our decision, we turn around and we give God the glory. We want people to know our Lord. He names this place Bel-Perazim in verse 11. And he went up to Bel-Perazim and David struck them down there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of that place is called Bel-Perazim. Bel-Perazim means God of breakthrough. God of breakthrough. And there are people in this room, maybe you're like me, who you are searching for some breakthroughs in your life. You're searching for some walls to be torn down. And we have a God that does that. If we align our heart with God, listen, if you align your heart with his, you're going to be astonished at the outcomes in your life. You will be astonished at the outcomes in your life. God of breakthroughs. Verse 12. And they left their gods there. The Philistines did. They got the smack laid down on them like a WWE tournament. And they left their gods there. And David gave this command and they were burned. Why, King David, did you do that? He was living as an example. What he was doing is he was going back to the Old Testament law, which said, you don't take the foreign gods, you burn the foreign gods. Why? Because they are idols. Why is that so important? Idols always lead us away from the correct direction. That's why they're called idols. That's like the definition of an idol. They lead us away from the correct direction. They lead us away from the way we should fight our battle. And so what David is doing is he's getting rid of the things that could mess his people up. We have to get rid of that which takes our focus off the godly path. That which gives us bad decisions, that which stumbles us. You know, that might be a bad relationship for somebody. That could be a bad habit. Yeah, Brandon, I've been trying to give up those cigarettes. Well, you got to throw the pack in your purse away. That might be bad attitudes. I think that's one of the things that holds the church back the most is bad attitudes. this is my church. Now it's God's church. Or maybe there's someone here today that you were kind of forced to come through those doors. Like your wife had you in a headlock and she was dragging you along or something like that. Or maybe a family member was like, I'll buy you lunch. And you're like, okay, right? But you were kind of forced through lunch. You were bribed. And we come in with a bad attitude. It's so interesting. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said, humans, people, Christians, we can harden our hearts, but we cannot soften them. So people come in with hard hearts. And then they get mad when they don't receive the word that they thought they should receive. You know, if this is God, I have the ability to walk away from God and harden my heart. But he has the ability to soften me. But he will do that only when I open up myself to him and I repent and I turn. I allow him to work in my life, to soften my heart. So maybe we got bad attitudes that are stopping us from fighting battles like we ought to. It's such a weird thing to challenge God. I'm reminded of a study. There was a study that came out, and they were trying to prove the existence of God through prayer. And what they did was, they said, if God is real, there's bias if you ever start a study like that, guys. If God is real, then we're going to pray over these people, and we're going to pray over these people, and we're going to see who has more healing. I mean, we're going to pray over these people, and we're not going to pray over these people, and see who has more healing. And they found what they were expecting to find. Of course they did, because they had a bad attitude and biases going in. Man, we need to go into situations just ready for God to move in incredible. We need to walk in. I'm preaching myself, guys. I need to walk into Walmart and be looking around like, God, what you want me to do? Who you want me to talk to? Who you want me to bless? Who you want me to pray over? Instead of like, I got to get in there, get my milk and get out and smack my kids a little bit on the way. You know, hush, act right. Bad habits. Also, those idols, guys, those idols that David tore up, that he burned, here's the reality. They're weak. They didn't have the power for that army to defeat the Israelites. They didn't have the power to defeat God. So why would anybody crave them? Why would anybody want them? Because sometimes we go to what we know instead of what we ought to go to. Maybe that's why. But they burn those things. And then there comes round two. There's a little split here in this text. In round two, he's coming up with chapter 13, and the Philistines are mad, or verse 13, and the Philistines are mad. Their gods have been destroyed. How dare you burn my weak God? And David has to make a choice. And just think about this. Just because we have won one battle doesn't mean the war's over. Gosh, there's so many good kids that I talked to that they won this battle, then they screwed up because they let their defenses down. They stopped trusting God. No, another battle may come. Look at verse 13 and 14. And the Philistines yet again made a raid in the valley, and when David again inquired of God, God said to him, you shall not go up after them, but go around and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle. Just think about that. Think about this. He prays to God. God, what should I do? And this time God says, no, wait. Don't. Do something different. I want you to go around back. But here's David, and he's got valiant warriors. They've already won one battle. They already have it on their side. They could probably go out and whoop up on some Philistines, but they choose not to because it wouldn't even matter if they won in that way. Trusting God works. Don't change the plan. We follow God, who is the general. We may lead companies of men, but we follow God, who is our general. And the reality is, if David went out against God's word and won the battle, he would still lose. Spiritually, he would lose. Let me give you a little illustration. Some of you got an envelope this week from the Boatners. Hey, I'm one of the Boatners. Daddy Boatner. Some of you got an envelope and it just said, hey, this is catching up on what we're doing because people had asked about our family. If you didn't get one of those, it's because we don't have your address. And so fix it, folks. Come on, get it to your address. Let's change them. But I sent them out. And one of the things I said in that envelope was that we know that God is calling us to plant a church. And we're excited about that. And it's going to be probably at the end of next year. So you still have to put up with me for a while longer. But as I began to think about that, I realized, you know, I could stay a youth pastor at River Oaks Church for the rest of my life. I could receive accolades. I could be praised. I could stay the worship pastor here, and people would get excited about that, and I could do that, and I would absolutely be living in sin, because that's not what God told me to do. You see, we can do all this religious stuff and not be where God has called us and told us to be and be in defiance of God. A side note, our children's ministry needs some helpers. Which one of y'all are going to help? Who's God calling? Answer that call. Follow him. Don't be in disobedience to that. Whenever we moved to Fort Worth, I worked in the children's ministry. I hated it. I'm just going to be honest. I'm good with kids, like for spurts, and then I need a nap. But some of you guys, you love kids, and you know God's calling you to that, and you've just been ornery about it. We must follow our general God. He is in total control. He tells us where to go. Look at verse 15. And when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. All right, so let's put some information in context. God's decisions are better than mine. God's plan is wiser than mine. God's army is stronger than mine. And so David's going to follow him. You have balsam trees, or maybe you have poplar trees, maybe you have mulberry trees. We're not sure what kind of tree it was. But if you look up all those types of trees, you know that we're talking like 40 to 90 feet tall. 40 to 90. So you imagine this battle, and he's gone out to the back of these trees. He's on the back side of the Philistines. David's getting ready. And imagine those towering trees out in front of him, and they're making a great deal of noise as the wind is going through the tops of the branches. Imagine the immense sound of God's army moving in the rustle of those trees. And it's just powerful and powerful. And powerful. The very height of that march on the tops of those trees shows the glory and the majesty even of the armies of God and the power they have. And then you imagine the excitement that David's men must have had as they realized, we're going behind this into battle. God tells us to follow after him, and we should follow. You know, even when I lead, I follow. If I'm a Christian, even when I lead, I follow. The best father, Christian dad, is going to follow Jesus and be an example of Jesus. The best pastor is always going to be a servant pastor who follows Jesus. The best small group leader, well, that's Dean Kelly. But besides that, whoop, whoop. We follow Jesus. Follow after him. But here's the deal. Just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you don't have to put on the jersey. I tell the kids, get in the game or take off the jersey, right? It doesn't mean you don't put on, it doesn't mean you're not on the team. You follow into battle. I think of like the Super Bowl. I think of like football teams. At the end of a Super Bowl, there will be a winner. And if there's a guy that rode the bench all year long, does he get a ring? Yeah, he gets a ring. He gets a ring. He wasn't a first string starter, so he didn't do anything, right? No, he absolutely, he got out there. He was in every practice, just going as hard as he could to make the first team, to make the starters better. It's a little bit like that with us and God. God's going to go out there, and God's going to fight for us, but we're going to receive a ring in the end, and we're going to get our knees scraped up, and we're going to get little cherries on our elbows. That's what my grandma used to call a little blood ring there. We get out there and we have action. We have to have action that plays into this. Look at verse 16. And David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer. That's a large swatch of land. I wish I had a map for you. That's a big area of land. David made the right choice. He got out there. He acted. He trusted God to fight the battle, but he came in and he did his part. And as we close, I want you to kind of think about this here. God's plans are always bigger than ours. I hope you know that by now. God's plans are always bigger than yours. David is just looking at one battle. I'm going to fight this one battle. We're going to go out. We're going to do this thing. But God is looking at a much larger picture and creating events so that history can play in the way that he wants it to for his child, David. Look at verse 17. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. The fame of David. Why would the fame of David go out? Shouldn't we be lifting up God? Well, here's what God knew. God was creating a system to where David would be feared. So he was taking the nation of Israel and making it strong, because God was for Israel and he's making it strong. God has a bigger plan than just that one battle. And so he allows David to get that glory. But he also knows this, David being a godly man, and you read the Psalms, he's going to turn things around and he's going to fight and he's going to give the glory to God. Here's what we need to know. The only testimony a lot of people will ever know, maybe your life and the way that you live it, is going to tell them all they need to know about Jesus. And so, yeah, God let David get some glory, but David was going to turn around and give God the glory if anybody talked to him about it. To God be the glory. Great things he had done, you know. Every meaningful decision, that's a battle. Every meaningful decision. But you know what? I did say that if you approach the battles in life with God, you'll fight less and you'll win more. But here's something that I know. The first battle that I ever had with God was when I finally submitted to his glory and made him Lord of my life. That happened when I was 12 years old. I don't have time to give you testimony, but that's the best decision I've ever made. Best decision I ever made. And I got a beautiful wife, wonderful kids. I'm friends with Dean Kelly. Again, I got Dean Kelly in there. Did you see how I did that? But the best decision I ever made was to put down the prideful junk that I bring to this. I bring nothing to the equation of God's love except for my sin. And I gave up that battle and I trusted him to lead me and be Lord of my life. Maybe you haven't done that today and you need to do that. And folks, all it takes is knowing that you're a sinner. And I don't have to convince you of that. The Holy Spirit's doing it right now. Knowing that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And if you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life and your Savior, you know, this is God. He died and rose again. Then you can be saved too. So I'm going to pray for us, and you need to get that right if that's you today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. And if there's anybody here struggling with that first battle with you to finally tear down those walls, God, and we said, we make our hearts hardened, you make them soft. So if someone's dealing with that, you must be working in their life. Soften them up real good, Lord. Lord, bring them to you. Help them to know a saving faith, God. And maybe there's some of us that we've been making bad decisions in our battles, and we've been losing intentionally because of the way that we fight. God, would you help us to show that you are the general and we need to trust you to be led into the war by you, that you, the angels of God may lead us. The victory is yours, always, God. We lift up this day to you and we praise you. Amen. All right.